This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And between them are affairs that are doubtful or unclear. لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Many people don't know. Many people do not know. So this is the beginning of the hadith. And that is, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ. So this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ categorizes the rulings, certain types of rulings, in relation to how much people know and what people know. The first is halal, that which is halal, bayyunun, kullun ya'rifuhu. Everything, this is clear halal, that which is halal. There are certain things that everybody knows, that's halal. For example, everybody knows that you can eat fruits, that fruits are halal. And so you don't have to worry about slaughtering fruits, or you don't have to worry about fruits coming from Muslims or non-Muslims. I mean, if it's fruits that you eat, something that's halal that everybody knows. Nobody you eat. There are certain things that we wear that everybody knows. It's halal. Like everybody knows, there's no question about it. And so there are many things that are halal, that are very, very clear. Many things are halal that are very, very clear. And there are certain things that are haram. In Islam, that are very, very clear. Everybody knows. Haramun bayyun, kullun ya'rifuhu. Halal, haram, that is clear, everybody knows. Like zina. Everybody knows that zina is haram. Stealing. Like stealing is haram, very clear. Drinking wine and alcohol and beer and so forth. Those types of things, everybody knows is haram. So there are certain things in Islam that are very clear. The hadith fiqh, a lot of people do not realize that fiqh itself, the majority of the issues people agree upon, then why is it every time when we study fiqh, people always like, oh, it's always difference of opinion. And the reason is because we focus on the differences more than the agreements. And they're because the agreements, of course, nobody needs to talk about them. Like it's all agreed upon. So anytime you speak about fiqh, not everything is haram, right? There are so many things that are halal. And not everything is, you know, there are different opinions in relation to them. Like there are many things that every scholar, there's an ijma', there's consensus amongst the scholars or the majority of the scholars agree upon. And so the differences are very, very, actually, are in terms of the amount in comparison relative to that which is, that which people agree upon is much smaller in number. It's just that, again, it's because we focus on that which people disagree upon more than what. لا يعرفه لا يعرف هل هو حلال أم حرام. People do not know whether this is halal or this is haram. And there's a difference. There are different reasons why. Well, sometimes it's because the doubt is in the dalil itself. The doubt is in the proof and the evidence itself. Is the evidence authentic? Is the evidence in its place? And so sometimes it's the ruling itself, and sometimes whether you use this particular hadith in its rightful place or not also. So that's where the difference of opinion in terms of whether it's halal or not, and that's why the scholars differ, and because of the differences in these particular aspects. So the first type of differences is, sometimes you have a hadith. Why do some people say this is permissible and some people say this is not permissible? Why do some people say it's mandatory? Some this is not mandatory. The reason is because sometimes a hadith is considered weak to some and it's considered acceptable to others. Right? Some people consider this hadith to be weak and so they don't use it. Others consider this hadith to be authentic, so they use it. And so there's a difference of opinion about that, because of the authenticity of the hadith. So whether the hadith or whether the dalil itself is authentic. And then of course there are many cases in which that particular dalil that you're speaking about, is it in its rightful place or not? Meaning, is this where it's supposed to be? Is this what's used? And so, because sometimes people use a hadith and they say, oh no, this is proof for this particular issue. And others say, no, that's not proof. He's speaking about something else. He's speaking about something else. Like, for example, sometimes the Malikis, they have for a particular, you know, the majority for them is like one third. Anytime it's one third, that means you've done most of it, right? And so, like, for example, if you rub your head, they say, okay, one third. That means, okay, if you rub one third, then it's good enough, you know? Or Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said one third, and one third is a lot. That means if you did one third, that means you did a lot. And if you did a lot, that's enough, right? And but that one third is what? That one third is in relation to a hadith in which Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or the Messenger of Allah came to visit him when he was sick. And this was in the Hajj. And he was very, very sick. He didn't think he was going to survive. And so he said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I have a lot of wealth. I have a lot of money. But I only have my daughter, just one daughter who will inherit from me. Right? And so I want to give, you know, I want to give my wealth in the path of Allah. I want to give it in charity, all of it." So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "No, don't do that." He said, "Don't do that." So, "Well, how about half? How about half?" He said, "Okay, let me give half." He says, "No, don't do that." He said, "Well, how about one third?" And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Athuluthu wa thuluthu kathir." One third, and one third is a lot. Like one third, and one third is already a lot. You're going to give charity one third of your money? And tada warthataka aghniya. If you leave money with your inheritor, it's better for you to give them more money. You know, leave money for them so that they don't have to go around begging. So one third, and one third is a lot. So this is, in many issues, like in the Maliki scholars, they use this, and in tahara, in prayer, in other aspects also, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said one third, and one third is a lot. But what he's speaking about one third here? One third is the money. One third is your, you know, that which you put into your will that you want to give someone else, or give people other than those who inherit from you. And many people, right? Some people, they know more than others, study, so they know more. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Most people, not most, a lot. So when he says a lot of people don't know, that means also what? Nas. I mean, a lot of people know. A lot of people know, and a lot of people don't know also. It doesn't, if he says these issues, those who study, there are a lot of Muslims who know them, and then there are a lot of Muslims. اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. Whoever stays away from the doubtful matters, then he will be safe, his deen will be safe, and his honor will be safe. Which, what do you mean by honor? His reputation. Because there are certain things that people differ about. You may know, and you may not know, and sometimes there are doubtful matters you don't know. But there's always a situation where you can choose the best option. That means that if you don't do it, like, say, for example, some people say, like, I'll speak about, like, in America, some people, they go and they eat chicken, they buy chicken from anywhere, it doesn't matter, right? Safeway, halal store, haram store, whatever, doesn't matter. As long as there's chicken, it's not haram, chicken in America. وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم. This is the food of the people of the book is halal for you, right? For them, like, everything is halal. You know, they go. You know, as long as it's chicken, you see them, they'll sit down in a restaurant, they'll order chicken, no problem. Order chicken, no problem. And then there's some, of course, like, no, that's not proper slaughtering. Like, and we're not in an area, the country of the people of the book. They might be some Christians here, but in many areas, like, you know, they're not practicing. And of course, there are different matters. Okay, did they slaughter this way? Did they really slaughter, or did they don't slaughter? So now these are doubtful matters. So if these are doubtful matters, if you avoid them, okay, if you always eat from halal store, you always go to halal restaurants, and you always eat that which is halal, and you avoid those areas and places and food that's, you know, that's haram or doubtful, then no, you don't have to worry. On the day of judgment, okay, this chicken, you find out it's halal or haram, yeah, halal. Like, well, you ate all the halal only anyways. It doesn't matter. And so that's why in some situations where you are, you're in doubt. And if you're in doubt, what's the thing that you're supposed to do? What's the sunnah? You're safe because you choose the safer opinion. But that does not mean that, it does not mean that the other opinion is not, is haram. Sometimes you just want to choose the safer opinion because you want to make sure you're always on the safe side. You want to make sure you're on the safe side. Even if the possibility, even though you know that, you know, it's halal, you feel that it's halal, but sometimes you want to make sure. So if you choose that which is safest of the two opinions, then you're always going to be, inshallah, in the, you know, on the right side. I mean, on the correct side of the fence, inshallah. And also with irdhi, ird is what? Is your honor, your reputation, your, you know, when people see you, if they see you in the wrong place, let's say somebody just comes out of the, you know, somebody comes out of the bar, right? You're like, oh. Look at that. The guy. The brother just came out of the bar. Right? The brother came, because I've seen people like, oh, subhanAllah, the brother just came out of the bar. But I know why he came out. I know why he came out of the bar. He didn't go to the bar. He did not go to the bar to go drink and to be there. But it's the wrong place to be, yes. But it's because everywhere else nowadays, you know, I know some brothers like, nowadays, especially the Uber drivers and drive at nighttime, like there's no place to go to the bathroom. The only place that's open. Like the only place is open. You need to use the bathroom really bad. Like there's no other place. All the stores are closed. The coffee shops are closed. You can't, everything is open, the bar. So he's like, man, I need to use the bathroom. And of course the bars, the bathrooms are always open. People are doing, like nobody's going to stop you. So you see a brother coming out, give him all the excuses. Because you might say that he's doing something bad, but but he might just need to use the bathroom. he might just need to use the bathroom. Or somebody, maybe somebody dropped something and he saw that guy running and he wants to give him back his purse or give him back his wallet. And you know, you never know, right? But you don't want to put yourself in that situation, right? You don't want to be in those areas, in that situation, those circumstances. And so that, you know, if you're never in those situations, in that area and so forth, then of course, then you're safe. And so some brothers like, yeah, those are the people we need to go make da'wah to. Yes, there are other places also. But, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where people might have doubts concerning you, who you are. So he said, فَمَنْ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. What is اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ? Meaning, اتَّقَ means to protect himself from the شُبُهَاتِ. I mean, he's careful. He makes sure that, you know what, these are doubtful matters, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to do them. I'm going to stay away from them. Even though it could be halal, right? It could be halal. But I'm not 100% sure, and I don't know until I ask. And sometimes it's a doubtful matter until you ask. You understand? For some people, they'll just like, let me just do it. Then when I find it's haram, then I'll leave it. Right? And so there's some people like, you know, I'm not going to do it until I know it's halal. So there are certain, you know, some people are leaning towards this side and that side. So what should we do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Whosoever always does the shubuhat, whoever falls into the doubtful matters, وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, he is going to fall into haram. He is going to fall into haram. Those people who are always on the fence, they're eventually going to do haram, right? Because you're so close to it. And he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives an example. He says, كَالْرَّاعِ يَرْعَى حَوْلِ الْحِمَى. Just like كَالْرَّاعِ. What's a ra'i? Ra'i is a shepherd, or because in the Arabic language, when you say ra'i, it could be ra'i al-ghanam. It could be a shepherd. Or it could be someone, ra'i al-ibil. Somebody who is a camel herder. or it could be someone who is a cattle herder, right? And so a ra'i itself is anyone who takes care of these animals. And when you say shepherd, of course, it's just for sheep, but the majority of the times we use that when we translate ra'i to be one who takes care of, or one who is a shepherd. But it could be a camel herder, it could be a cow herder, and so forth. And all of those are considered ra'i. Karra'i yara'a hawl al-hima. Just like a person who takes care of an animal or takes care of a flock, that yara'a hawl al-hima. That's, you know, he has his flock, and he is bringing it close to a place that's not his. In other words, this is an area. This isn't, sometimes you have your land that's yours, and then, or this particular place is yours, and there are certain areas that you're not supposed to go because it doesn't belong to you. If that's the case, sometimes you bring it too close. Eventually, your camels, your sheep, your goats, and your cattle, they're gonna go. And that's why he says, you stay away from that area. Stay away from that area, because that's the area. Once you go close to it, you know, you don't have really much control over it, because eventually you go over it. And especially your sheep, your camel will cross over. And the same way with you. Yushaku ayyaqa fi. He's almost going to fall in it. يُشَكُ أَنْ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ وَقَعْ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعْ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Those who always do the shubuhat, those who always fall into the, who are always doing doubtful matters, they are going to fall into haram. He says, مَنْ وَقَعْ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. That means whoever falls into doubtful matters, it's going to fall into the haram. And that's why, what do you want to do? You want to always stay away from those, that area, so doubtful matters. Like, it's like your prayer time. You know, it's like your prayer time. Some people, for Fajr, right? For Fajr, you want to pray in the masjid. If you can't pray, you know, if you want to put your alarm clock very early. Because some people are like, let me get a little bit more sleep. Okay, like, let me see, sunrise is at 5:19. Let me put it at 5 o'clock. Right. Let me put it at 5 o'clock. So, you know, 5 o'clock, alhamdulillah, inshallah, 19 minutes. I have enough time to take a shower, even if I want to, if I need to. I can make use of the bathroom, make wudu. You know, 10 minutes of prayer time, I'll still have 5 minutes left until sunrise. Right? Because, you know, I want to get as much sleep as I can. Like, and if you, so this is like you're on the border. Is it permissible to pray during that time? Is this like it? It's permissible. Your prayer is still valid. Right? But if you do that, what's going to happen? There'll be days in which you're like, oh, let me just have five more minutes. You're going to hit the snooze button, right? And what's going to happen? You wake up, you sleep again, and next thing you know, it's like, subhanAllah, it's 30 minutes. It's already past time. So you fall into haram. You fall into haram because you made it so close. You know, these are the areas. This is like the timing itself. That's the fence. Why are you so close to the fence? Pray early, and then you can go to sleep afterwards, again. And then after that, you can set another alarm to go to work. That's really close, or maybe a little bit earlier also, because you don't want to do that also. Just like when you're going to work, you're very careful, right? You want to give enough time. You don't want to just right there. And if there's traffic, you're not going to make it. No. You're calculating traffic and everything, right? But then when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're always straddling the haram. And when you're straddling the haram, you're eventually going to fall into haram. It's just like someone who is taking care of a flock, and they're allowing the flock, they're bringing it to the border. Eventually, it will cross over to that which is haram. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Ala, wa inna li kulli malikin hima." Ala, ala here in the Arabic language means, yeah, you know, it's called adat al-istiftah. Istiftah is like you catch people's attention. Hey, like when you say, hey, you know, or you say, listen up, you know, this, indeed, Allah wa inna li kulli malikin hima. Like, know that, hey, listen to this. Allah wa inna li kulli malikin hima. Indeed, every king has his sanctuary. Right? Every king has his kingdom, sanctuary. This is my land, this is my border, my area, my land. You don't touch it. This is his territory, his area. Wa inna li kulli malikin hima. Indeed, every king has, you know, areas that are prohibited. Yeah, that you can't go to them. You can't touch it. You can't take. That's his. Wa inna, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Wa inna li kulli malikin hima. Wa inna hima Allah maharimuhu. Indeed, the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that is haram. And so in other words, the haram areas are the areas of no-go. Don't go to them. So don't go to the haram. Don't go to haram. And so you don't go to haram, which means what? Don't even go close to the haram. And that's why, and to make it easier for us also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, of course, we know that which is haram. Az-zina, for example. Zina is haram. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, وَلَا تَزْنُوا only, right? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. And don't go near zina, lead you to it. Right? And that's why those things are haram. It's haram to be with the person of the opposite sex, alone with them, without a mahram. Right? You can't be with them if there's no mahram there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also ordered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to lower our gaze, right? Because if you always looking at haram, you're eventually going to then know to anything that's calling to zina. For example, people listen to music. What do they speak about? Think about boyfriend and girlfriend and love and also, you know, like haram relationships. Then you listen to it all the time, you get desensitized and it becomes normal. And then now you don't have a girlfriend, you want a girlfriend too, right? And so when you listen to those things and you look at that which is haram, that also is haram. And so that's why there are things that are haram, and then there are things that are also that if you go near that, if you go close to it, then it will be haram also. So some of the brothers are like, you know, like, hey, you know, let me just text the sister, right? You know. Like, it's okay, you can text a sister, just make sure you send it to her father also. Same message. So at the same time, it's no problem, right? But don't put yourself in a situation where maybe what, text message after that. Okay, let's have a FaceTime, right? Next time, I want to see your face also, FaceTime. Next time, let's meet face-to-face. Like, it's not FaceTime anymore. You meet face-to-face, next thing you know, you're alone with her. The next thing you know, the shaitan brings you to that which is haram, and to do that which is clearly haram. And so that's why you don't want to go near anything. And that's not, we're not talking about the doubtful matters here. All of those things are haram. And so everything that leads to the haram, that may cause the haram also, those things are haram. But then there's the doubtful matters. There are doubtful matters, things that are permissible, but they are permissible. Yet, don't always be there. Don't hang out in that area. Don't straddle those areas, because eventually you'll be falling into haram. Just like in prayer time, as I mentioned, it's halal to pray at the end of time. It is permissible. It's acceptable. It's not a good thing to do all the time. But if you wake up, it's still valid if the sun hasn't risen yet and the prayer time is not over yet. But if you set your alarm at that time every single time, eventually, you will fall into haram, and you will miss it. You will miss it. And that's why the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah protects you, because the sunnah keeps you away from the haram. The sunnah protects you and keeps you away from haram. So if you were to pray in the masjid, then you would not delay, because you have to make it in time. If you were to pray, for example, the hajj, then of course, you're going to wake up before Fajr. And if you're going to pray 2 rakahs before Fajr anyways, then the shaitan comes to you. He doesn't say, oh, just go continue to sleep. No, I can't sleep right now. I have to wake up before Fajr because I want to pray my tahajjud. So the sunnah keeps you and protects your deen. فَقَدْ اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ It protects your deen. It keeps your deen pure. Istabra means it keeps your deen pure. It keeps your deen from being affected. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this in this hadith, وَإِنِّي لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى وَحِمَى اللَّهُ مَحَارِمُهُ And so remember we said that there are certain things that are halal and haram. So there are areas of halal. You can go anywhere. Like if a person were to, look for the pasture for their flock, right? There's a lot of places that are halal. There are a lot of places. Just go. It's all open for you. You know, like in there are many places that people, you know, the land is not owned by anyone. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslimun shuraka fi thalath, fil kala wal ma wal nar." Like the Muslims, they share in all of these things, and that is in pasture, grazing, pasture land, and water. When you have water, that's something that you share. You share all the time, and of course, in fire, when somebody needs fire, you should never be greedy with these things, right? You should never be greedy with these things, but if there are certain things also that you should also be careful with and not straddle them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about, and look, the connection is an amazing connection. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first of all spoke about a king, right? And then after that he speaks about ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah. What is the next topic? About the heart. About the heart, because the heart, when the heart is pure and clean, it avoids doubtful matters. Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah. Indeed, inside your body, there is a piece of flesh. Idha salahat, if it is healthy and pure and clean, salah al jasadu kullu, then the whole body is clean and pure. Wa idha fasadat, fasad al jasadu kullu, and if it is impure, if it is rotten, then the whole ala wa hiya al qalb. What is this morsel, piece of flesh? It is the heart. So if the heart is good, everything else is good. If the heart is good, everything else is good. And also he spoke about what? The king. So if you have the king, if it's a just king, you know, his kingdom will be good also. Right, because that's the core. If it's a just king, a king who applies justice, then of course his country and his country will be good also. But if it's a bad king, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And that's why some of these countries, when the ruler is good, the citizens are also good. He keeps them in check. But when the ruler is corrupt, that's when you have widespread corruption, right? The ruler is corrupt, widespread corruption. The heart is corrupt, widespread corruption in the body. If the heart is clean and pure, everything else is good. So if the heart is good, the words that a person speaks are good words. And that's why if you want to see what's in somebody's heart, look at also his words that he speaks. Everything is coming from the heart. Everything is coming from the heart. And if the heart is good, then the whole body, inshallah, is good also. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this hadith. Well, what are some of the benefits? We mentioned the benefits. And the benefits are that when it comes to things, there are three things. It's either clearly halal, clearly haram, or it is in the middle. In other words, there's doubtful matters. So everything, just think about everything that you do. Is it clearly halal, clearly haram? And also when you're making decisions also, right? When you're making decisions, there are some things that you don't even need to pray istikhara, right? Like what? Like things like, oh, let me pray istikhara. Should I go to the masjid today or not? Like, no. No, go to the masjid. You don't need to pray istikhara when you go to the masjid or not. You go because of the reward is great for it. Or you're like, let me pray istikhara. Should I go to the bar today or not? No, you don't go. It's haram. You don't need to pray istikhara in that matter. You pray istikhara in that which is mubah. It's permissible both ways. You can do this or you can do that. For example, you want to marry this sister or you marry the other sister. Yeah, you can marry, or you can marry both of them. Like, right? And so, you know, in terms of like, and ahkam and rulings also, there are things that are very clear. And there are things that are very clear when that's halal. And there are things that are very clear that's haram. And then there are things that are in between. And of course, you have this in every many acts of worship, right? Many acts of worship, right? Like, for example, when a person, if a person is making hajj, for example, like some scholars have said, you can wear shoes as long as your ankles are not covered, you can still wear, or you can wear, sandals or flip-flop. But I want to wear. If you wear flip-flops, then there's no difference of opinion. Everyone says it's okay, right? But if you wear that which is different, maybe it's still correct, or maybe it isn't. But there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. But sometimes for those who know the rulings, they say, okay, I can wear this. They feel comfortable wearing it. They say, this is halal. For them, it's halal. Others have said, no, it's not permissible. Well, if you take one that everyone agrees upon, the shoes that everyone agrees upon, then there's no problem. There's no problem with it whatsoever. So that's why anytime you have a problem, a ruling, if you want to protect your deen, try to take that which is, that which is safest for your deen. But sometimes just because you pick the safest opinion, does not always mean that you make it incumbent upon everyone to do so. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't force your don't. You have to differentiate between shara and wara. I mean, shara means this is the ruling, but the wara here, I'm being cautious. I'm not going to touch this. But even fall into any doubtful matters, just because it's doubtful, or because there's a difference of opinion about it. You know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to just stick with this. So, like for example, somebody says, "Well, should I buy a car?" I can't afford the car, and some people say it's okay if the financing is in-house and so forth. And like, for some people, they understand and say, okay, this is permissible. Others like, I don't know if it's permissible. This sheikh says it's permissible. The other sheikh says it's not permissible. Well, let me just buy a used car that I can afford then, inshallah. If I can, if I don't have to, just buy a used car that I pay straight up. Like, or maybe I don't want to buy it. Let me just drive this car for 5 years, I get enough money that I just pay straight up. I don't have to worry about that. Sometimes you have that option. Sometimes you don't have that option. And sometimes you do. So if you do have a safer option, always try to pick the safer option in this particular matter. And you would be following the sunnah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Da'ma yaribuka illa ma la yaribuk." And so that's why there are certain things that are halal. There's some things that are haram. Then there's in between, right? In between. So like, for example, you go into the masjid. I mean, nobody does this, but what should you do? You step, you take your right foot, step in with your right foot or your left foot when you go into the masjid? With your right foot, right? Everyone knows. And going with your left foot is not haram, but it's, it's dislike, right? But somebody goes, okay, let me just go hop in both foot at the same time. Like some people do that, right? Okay, I don't know, let me just hop both ways. Like, just go with your right foot. It's not hard. It's not difficult, right? You don't have to hop in. And sometimes, sometimes people do stuff like this sometimes. I'm not saying like this is what they do. I'm just saying like sometimes there are these options and people will pick like, okay, they'll just purposely like pick some of these options that are like doubtful or that fall in the category in the middle, right? In the middle. And in this case, of course, you don't do this makruh, dislike, and then this is the sunnah,
And so nobody's going to be hopping in the middle of Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us and benefits and that which has taught us. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. With this hadith, there are a lot more. A lot more examples and a lot more benefits that we can extract from this hadith, because we haven't even started about the heart yet and the different, what does it mean and what is the heart in Islam, and because if it is good, then what does it mean it's good, everything else is good, in what manner. So inshallah, we have a lot more to cover concerning this and actions of the heart, and also we have more, inshallah, more examples. So we'll do that, inshallah, next week, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong our life and give us the best of this world and the hereafter. Anyone have any questions? Yes, go ahead.
There is some stuff we talk about. Yes, there's a restaurant, let's say the halal restaurant, or the chicken, they have labels, they're halal.
Yes.
Sometimes it's halal, but they have labels, they're halal meat, like chicken. But sometimes we talk about it. You say, you know what? If I went online to check those halal chicken, there's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
It's not really halal, but they have a script showing that they're halal.
Yes. Well, in this case, you know, like that's why there are certain places, like certain people. If you know that this is the case, like, you know, especially when it comes to meat in America specifically, in some countries, you know, they are more organized. You know, some countries they have people to check where's your meat coming from, and they have like organizations. Like, I know in the UK they're much more strict, so they have organizations that go around to halal restaurants and gives them a certificate, and offer them to give them a certificate. They check wherever the meat comes from, and then they check where that meat, who is it that they're getting it from? Is it halal? Are they slaughtering or not? And they also check, you know, the whole restaurant, whether it's halal. Then they give them certificate. In some places like America, anyone can put halal up, you know, and halal. Like, I know it's even non-Muslims, subhanAllah, non-Muslims, some stores, because they want Muslim businesses or Muslim, they want Muslim customers. And so they'll put in like halal, like I know that there's a couple of stores, especially the one in Martin Luther King, MLK, across from Olympic Express, that says halal meat. Like, they have halal meat. At the beginning, they have halal meat. The sign is still up there, so a lot of people still go. But even though they don't even know what halal is, they have pork, and they use the same thing to cut the pork, and they cut the meat also. And so if you see, hey, these are non-Muslims, and they don't even know halal, they're just trying to sell. And maybe they have sources at the beginning, and maybe they change, and you don't know, then stay away from that. And that's why I remember a story from one of my teachers. He went to visit me. I was in Cambodia at that time. He went to visit, and I brought him to a restaurant. And the restaurant, alhamdulillah, you know, the people, we know the people, they're Muslims. And then we know the meat that they get from is halal. We don't have any problems. We know them very well, right? We know the people and we know the restaurant. And in those days, there weren't too many halal restaurants. Anyways, we sat down and we sat down, right? And so this woman comes without hijab and serves the food. So the sheikh looks at me and says, "Is halal?" I said, "It's halal." I said, "I don't trust them. Like, if they have someone without hijab serving me in a halal restaurant, how do I trust them with their meat?" How do I trust them with meat? He says, "You guys can eat. I'm just eating my fruits." And he's very careful. You know, he did. He took out his fruits and he ate fruits, and we ate, and he didn't eat. Even though I know the family. Like, it's just like, you know, they sometimes they hire non-Muslims, right? Because sometimes you hire Muslims, yeah, the Muslims are good. I mean, but sometimes Muslims don't work as hard. Like, they take it much more relaxed, more easily. You know, when you tell them to do something, yeah, inshallah. Like, you know. And so for some people are like, man, I'd rather hire this person because she works harder. You know, she's like coming from the village, much poor, and you hire a Muslim, they're always like, they don't work as hard, right? And then they don't work as hard. Also, the brother also, he says, you know, because sometimes for prayer time, for Jum'ah, you know, we hire non-Muslims because, you know, I take care of that when I'm there, but when I need to go pray, I can't, you know, I just leave the restaurant open because there are non-Muslims that come eat also. Non-Muslims that come eat also, and I can't close. And so sometimes I hire some non-Muslims, and most of the time Muslims are working. But it happened that day, I think it was on a Friday before Jum'ah. So they wouldn't, of course, they hire non-Muslims on that day. So just to keep the restaurant, you know, open, because sometimes the non-Muslims come in, especially in non-Muslim countries, right? In non-Muslim countries, like, you know, there are a lot of people who just sit there, and, you know, prayer time comes, you can't kick them out. They're still eating, and that's lunchtime for them. They come eat, and you know, and so they keep theirs open for, you know, and they hire non-Muslims to do that. But before that, we go, and then he wouldn't eat. And I remember him, he said he came to America one time. He came to America, right? And he's very careful when it comes to his food, subhanAllah. The plain food, even though he can order halal, he said, I don't trust them. I don't know where they're getting it from. They just want to make money. You don't know if they're halal or not. You know, they can get anything. Some people, they think chicken is halal. Where's the chicken coming from? Just because it's not pork, anything is halal. Like, their understanding of halal, different you know, companies, they you know, some people, you know, especially non-Muslims, like you know, the Korean companies, Chinese companies, and sometimes they don't care. So when he takes a plane, he brings fruits with him. And so when you come to America, you know what happens when you bring in fruits, right? Yeah, you have to declare, or you can't bring them in. So he goes, he said, I got to America, I got to the airport, and they checked my bag, and they found an apple. And he said, I ate everything already. I just had one apple left. And they said, you know, you're not supposed to bring this in, or you have to declare. He says, oh, I didn't, you know, I thought just one apple. Right? He says, you know, I can fine you for this. You know that, right? So he says, let me see the apple. He said, when you start eating, he said, no more now. And the guy, he ate it. He ate all the apple. He said, let me just finish. And the guy goes, yeah, I'll just go get up. just go. But he was telling us, you know, I can fine you for this. You know, you can't do, you have to declare. Bring in fruits. But it's just that I remember that our sheikh, he was, you know, very, very careful when it came to food. Like, even though I knew that this restaurant, I know the meat, I know the Muslims over there, it's halal, he wouldn't eat from it. He wouldn't eat from it. And we had already sat, we ordered everything already, but he wouldn't eat from it. So that's, he's not telling us, oh, haram for you to eat. See, he's not saying, like, it's haram. Like, don't eat. You guys, no, don't eat. He didn't tell me not. He didn't ask, you know, we believe it's halal, right? And we ate. But he says, you know, for me, that's for me. Like, I don't want to touch it. If they come, they're hiring non-Muslims, serving me with our hijab, I don't trust them. I don't trust them with my food. And so I'm not going to eat. For me, I won't eat. You guys want to eat? Go ahead. Go ahead. You guys can eat. And Allah, wallahu ta'ala. Yes. 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 Yeah, that's the thing. Like I said, some of these issues, for some people, like, you know, it's like it's doubtful matter. Some people, like, okay, I think this is halal. They do it based on their understanding. But if you don't know, if you think it's doubtful, then don't buy a house. And sometimes people are put in a situation where they might need to buy a house. So they're in a situation that sometimes, you know, you have a big family, nobody rents the house to you. They don't want to rent it to you. because they don't want, or some people don't have credit. So there's the only way for them is to find alternative. And so everyone's in a different situation. But if you're not in that situation where it's difficult for you and you don't want to fall into that category, you want to follow those doubtful matters, then don't buy a house, inshallah. And stay away from that if you don't feel comfortable with it. Wallahu ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.